Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy being alive day, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here aboard the mothership. Back with you. Thanks for being patient with me as we took some time off this fine summer and had a lot of moving parts here on the DA show, but we are back and we are ready to rock. And coming up this hour on the show, sound check, your best audio of the day in 20 minutes and in 40 minutes. The Yankees are being disrespected by all opponents. Woof. Sounds of Saturday focuses on the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Their legendary voice, Paul Keels, will join us in hour number four. Before we go much further, I don't have much of an appetite to do a lot of NBA offseason stuff right now. To me, everything is about football, 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 and then some baseball pennant race stuff. I think we'll do more baseball as we get closer to October than in October. But right now, it's all about NFL kickoff and college football kickoff, and I think that's where everybody's juices are flowing and anticipation is. And so the NBA offseason stuff just does nothing for me. We brought up Messi in hour number one. He's really this kind of incredible catalyst of excitement and showmanship and must-see TV and tickets for his MLS debut, because the other games were not technically MLS games. They were League Cups games. Fetched nearly $1,000 for seats. And so he's kind of changed everything. But really, it's all about football. But I saw this story, and I've been hesitant to bring up offseason NBA because I find it to be just so worthless. But the Steph Curry, Magic Johnson stuff, I found bothered me. The James Harden stuff is what it is. The Damian Lillard stuff is what it is. The schedule and midseason tournament is what it is. But I found myself being, I thought, unnecessarily bothered by an offseason NBA story, which was Steph Curry being called the greatest point guard of all time. Now, I'm not here to question whether Steph Curry is one of the greatest players or the greatest point guards of all time. He is obviously the greatest shooter of all time. That much is inarguable. And he is a champion multiple times over. He has won titles with a super team, and when he has been the centerpiece of it. He has been clearly one of the great players of the NBA for a while now. He has been a generational talent. He causes kids across the country to buy Warriors jerseys and watch Warriors highlights, and people are incredibly head over heels, especially the younger generation, about Steph Curry. He's created a generation of kids that just wants to shoot from the outside. So he changed how the game is played in many ways, and I'm not here to dismiss any of that. But when people start calling him the greatest point guard of all time, I find it offensive. And I also think that Steph Curry got it wrong by placing himself in historical context. It's just not something he should do. When players are asked if you're the greatest of all time, are you better than this guy? They should just defer. It's not my call. That's not up to me. That's up for everybody else to decide. I just find it to be very unbecoming when great players position themselves above other great players. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think you should do it. And I think that Steph Curry should know better, because Steph Curry is usually really good at this type of stuff. He's respectful of people that came before him. He's been a great teammate. He hasn't needed to be about me, me, me. I just didn't think there was any reason for him to start putting himself above other greats. But then when it got to, yeah, he's the greatest point guard of all time. I mean, look, I know that Magic has a ridiculous Twitter, and I know that Magic Johnson might be older than a bulk of the NBA fans that use social media or have the hot takes now. But, like, even suggesting that Steph is a better player all time than Magic Johnson proves that you just don't know anything. I'm sorry. It's just, it's such a blinking light of I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Steph is a better shooter than Magic Johnson. Everything else Magic was better. I mean, Magic Johnson as a rookie played center when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was injured in game 7 of the NBA Finals and dominated. Do we think that Steph, as a rookie, would have played center in game 7 of the NBA Finals and put up 40 and 20? Do we think that Steph Curry could have slid in to replace Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Game 7 of the NBA Finals effectively? It doesn't take much to just dial up Magic Johnson passes. Steph's a great player, but Magic Johnson's court vision, passing ability, is otherworldly, stuff that we still don't see, where he's throwing the length of the court bounce passes to AC Green or James Worthy on a break. The pass is going the length of the court and he's threading the defense. Behind the back, no look, through his legs. I mean, is the most extraordinary passer we have ever seen. He can dominate in the post because he's taller than guards. He's a better passer than any guard. He's a better player on the floor than anybody that he's playing against. He's one of the four greatest players of all time. He can play multiple positions, including center, and dominate doing it. He won 5 NBA championships. Steph has 4. He also was in the NBA Finals 8 times in 10 years. It's just offensive. It's offensive. And it is just proof that, you know, you kind of need old people. You kind of do. Because old people have the context. They have the perspective. They go, no, you're actually wrong because you didn't see this X, Y, or Z. And I know that old people get a bad rap because it's get off my lawn stuff. And yes, there's a lot of people of a next generation that look at the older generation and say, you know, move out of the way. You're holding on to your stuff. You won't let us grow. You won't let us have our own identity, things like this. And that happens forever. Like, you need old people to be like, no, Steph's not the greatest point guard of all time. And if you think so, you're just ignoring an entire era. And it's obnoxious. It's just obnoxious. And whatever is newest is best in a lot of people's minds. And it's just not true. It doesn't take much to just dial up YouTube these days to look at it. And I thought Steph did the whole thing a disservice by putting himself up there himself. It's not his call. And for people to go along with it like Magic Johnson never existed. I mean, give me a break, please. Let me stay in L.A. for a second here. Because the Shohei Ohtani injury happened last week. And without a shadow of a doubt, everything here has become worst case scenario for the Angels. Except the injury. Which is pretty insane. They weren't going to make the playoffs at the trade deadline, but they had a delusion that they could, and they traded away the little prospects that they had to make a run now in the stretch run. and it completely collapsed. They wanted to sell Shohei Ohtani on look at what a playoff run could look like here. Excitement, we're going for it, aggressive nature of the franchise. And again, not one of the best farm systems in baseball. They trade away the few good young players they have. They go all in and they collapse. So A, the little young talent they had coming up through the system is gone. And they got nothing to show for it because they didn't even make September with meaningful games to play. It all went to crap in August. And now you get nothing for Shohei Ohtani. You get no prospects in a trade. And you could lose him at the end of the season and have gotten absolutely zero out of the Ohtani era besides look what we wasted. And then the injury happens. And now he's going to be shut down for the season in throwing and pitching. And who knows if he'll pitch again. Who knows what the long-term effects of this will be if he has Tommy John again. All of that. And it just feels like, what the hell? They got just bit in every angle, every way by the Ohtani thing. And the delusion of going forward to the trade deadline. And yet, the injury here helps the Angels. And it helps the Angels because at least a few teams will be scared off from bidding the massive money on Shohei Ohtani because of another arm injury. He had Tommy John back in 2018. At least some of the buyers will go, we could have went all in if we thought he was going to pitch and hit. And now we're going to remove ourselves from this conversation. That's the first thing. The line of teams that will line up for Shohei will get at least a little shorter. The second thing is the money's going to come down because now you're not guaranteed to get a guy who can be the top of the rotation arm and your power hitter. He might only be a power hitter. Now, he'll make good money because he's one of the best power hitters in the game, because he's extremely marketable, because he's still in his prime. But if you're not going to pay for him to be a top-of-the-rotation starter, the price tag comes down, which now allows the Angels a little closer, probably, in the finances. I think it was Buster Olney that has brought this up a couple of times since the injury happened, and that is that he has always stressed comfort. And the comfort of Ohtani is right now in Anaheim. It is a big market with low scrutiny. It's a big market with little pressure. Yeah, we talk about how the Angels never make the playoffs, and yeah, we talk about how they're wasting Shohei Ohtani, but he's not the one getting ripped. He's not the one getting scrutinized. It's the franchise. It's the ownership. It's the front office. If he really likes that cocoon, that bubble, and now you take away him being Babe Ruth and he's just a power hitter, and the money has come down because not everybody's going to bid as much as they were once going to, and the takers on Ohtani might have minimized by a little bit, he might stay. Now, I think that it would be a mistake because he said winning was a priority, and I don't see how you can look at the Angels and say they're in a good spot to win. Let's face it, after the trade deadline, they punted on almost every chance of being a winner for the coming years. So he would be opting back into a situation where you're talking about a 500 team, maybe you make a wild card, but you're not talking about winning World Series or going to the World Series. They've got no track record of doing it, and no farm system to help that. But out of all of this that just looked like the Angels made every mistake possible, they might get him back. And it would tell us, if they do get him back, that Ohtani actually didn't really care about winning, to be quite honest. When we come back here on the show, we've got sound check. We've got your best audio of the day. So keep it locked right here. And that includes honoring of a great broadcaster, an American icon, and a J.R. and Shep moment coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. Appreciate you being with us on this fine Monday morning. Remember, you can listen to us in podcast form as well, the best of the show. Or the full 4 hours available by simply searching The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Saints Radio, as C.J. Stroud throws a 3-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter of last night's preseason game. C.J. Stroud trying to lock down that starting quarterback position in Houston.
Second and goal for the Texans, moving right to left towards Poitras. Under center is Stroud. Pierce, the lone back. Play action. Stroud to throw, throws to the end zone. That is complete. To number 12, Nico Collins for the touchdown on the near side.
I think just being myself is all I need. I don't have to be anything or anybody else. I have to just be myself and make what we're doing comfortable with my shoes and comfortable with my skin. And I think I've gotten okay with doing that, making the offense mind, like how I think about plays. And of course, try to be on the same page with Bobby. But I think that's something that I've kind of got more used to, just being myself as I'm trying to do new things that I'm asked to do. So definitely just being myself.
Well, the experiment of whether you can ruin a young quarterback by throwing them into the fire too early will be tested severely over the course of this season. The Panthers are going to start Bryce Young from day one. Texans are going to start C.J. Stroud from day one. Colts are going to start Anthony Richardson from day one. My guess is not all three will benefit for playing for bad teams week one as a rookie. But this is the reality of today's NFL. Impatience is everywhere, and it will ruin at least one of these guys. Baseball. We go to Root Sports, Mariners Television. Julio Rodriguez.
We just got to keep on going. It's not over here. It's not over yet. We're going to need your energy. Keep bringing the energy to this ball. Let's keep on riding this. I'm going to keep it right there.
How cool is this? The Red Hot Mariners have vaulted themselves into first place in the American League West on top of the Texas Rangers having one of their best seasons in franchise history and the dangerous Houston Astros. At the moment, the Mariners have a one-game lead on both the Rangers and the Astros. They've won 9 of their last 10 games. And a 3-2 win yesterday over the Royals gives them the division lead. Rodriguez is the hero in Seattle. They are one of the most fun teams to watch in baseball. And if you gave me Mariners, Orioles, ALCS, I'd be in on that, baby!
I love how in that clip we just played, he almost curses.
Twice.
When he goes, let's keep riding that. I'm going to keep it right there. Exactly. I'm going to keep it right there.
The first time I heard it, I actually thought that he had cursed once and then held himself back once. But he held himself back twice. So good job by Rodriguez. One of the most exciting, great young players of the game. And Mariners fans have been desperate for a winner for a long time. He's not junior yet. But Julio Rodriguez, this M's team, is making them believe in the Pacific Northwest. And I believe as well. Now, let's go back to Thursday night, shall we? Right here on CBS Sports Radio. The JR Sport Brief, weeknights here on the network. And JR is excellent, and his producer, Shep, is excellent as well. And JR visited Washington, D.C. recently, and they got to talking about it. So, of course, we want to play that here on the show.
I like coming to D.C., man. You've been down here before?
I have, man. The Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial. I'm trying to think. There's you know, Mr. Jackson Goes to Washington? Can that be a remake?
Me?
Yes.
You want to make a movie out of this? Like, what do you want to...
Well, it's kind of catchy. And there is that Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, that classic. But there hasn't been a remake, though.
Mr. Jackson Goes to Washington sounds like a Cinemax movie.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like a feature film, a drama, or a family-friendly comedy. Sound like a Cinemax.
Sounds like something that comes on. Does Cinemax still exist?
Well, JR, the good news is I don't think you and I know. And more importantly, I don't think you and I care, because God knows there is trash and then there's Cinemax.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, I haven't seen Cinemax. I don't know. That's a good thing. I don't know if Cinemax still exists.
Yeah,
Mr. Jackson Goes to Washington. That does sound like a Cinemax title. It sounds pretty interesting. But no, I love it out here.
I love that conversation. I love everything about that conversation.
Now, they're trying to say Skinemax, aren't they?
I think they're suggesting that it's a late-night Cinemax movie, which the shorthand is Skinemax for all those naughty movies at night. But, I mean, there is a Cinemax. It's just now combined with HBO and called Max, right?
Yeah, but the freestanding channels are still there, too.
Channels on your TV, just Cinemax.
The channels on regular cable are still there, but along with Max.
Which is the streaming platform for all of the Cinemax and HBO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you gotta love Shep dropping a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, a 1939 movie starring James Stewart. Jimmy Stewart.
That's even too old a reference for Pete.
I mean,
he didn't get that one.
20 years too young for me.
Shep's, think about it. Shep has taught listeners about Mickey Mantle and now about Jimmy Stewart. And I like, because he's right, JR, Mr. Jackson Goes to DC does sound like a Skinemax movie or a porno.
Yeah, Mr. Bo Jackson.
Hey, ladies.
I love how he asks if Shep has been to Washington, D.C. He goes, yeah, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument.
Goes into all the... He basically did done for a day. JR. Oh,
Air Jordan, his airness, Michael Jordan himself.
I love those guys.
By the way, because I was confused too, Cinemax is not part of Max.
Really?
Yeah, Max is HBO and other like Time Warner properties, but Cinemax is still its own thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they call it Max then?
Because it was HBO Max, and then when it was just HBO's streaming thing, and I think when they brought in like Discovery Channel stuff is on there.
Right.
Then it became just Max, but Cinemax stuff is not on there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what a labeling nightmare.
Cinemax, HBO Max, no affiliation.
I think they are possibly cousins business wise, but Cinemax is not part of Max.
Wow. What a weird branding decision to make, to take the HBO. Yeah. And the reason they did that was because they wanted to be family friendly, and they felt that automatically when you think HBO, you think about some very adult content. But HBO's the brand. HBO's what everybody knows. To eliminate the HBO from the HBO part of your product seems to be silly.
And is Skinemax a subsidiary of Cinemax?
Skinemax is not just an official term.
Oh, okay. That's not like, no. You can't find the channel Skinemax. That's just the term for pornos on Cinemax.
Yes. Correct.
Oh. Yes. For the longest time, I thought there was an actual channel called Skinemax.
No. It's just after like 11 p.m. when like Red Shoe Diaries came on.
There you go. And, Cat House was another one.
The lady that used to be married to Gene Simmons. What was her name? Shannon Tweed.
Oh, Shannon Tweed.
She was a big Skinemax actress.
Look at you. Listen, now I know what you used to do.
There were times where that was the only thing we got.
Yeah, baby.
And Scramble Channels.
You gotta remember, for people like Bogues and I that are now in our 40s, mid-40s, well before the internet, we come of age, and you're looking at SI swimsuit issues,
right?
And flipping through late night TV.
What's your name?
Maybe there's a Victoria's Secret catalog in there, but it's not like you can dial up naked people doing naked things all the time for free on your phone like kids got now.
No, once AOL connected, you got mail. You got porn. It didn't happen. Yes, exactly. One didn't follow the other.
That's exactly
right. Wow. So 15 years, I guess maybe 20 years ago when you were dating now Mrs.
almost
Bogus,
30 years ago.
She's asleep Friday night, 11 o'clock.
You got to remember, I'm high school class of 97. Bogues is class of 98.
Yeah.
Neither one of us have high-speed internet probably until we go to college.
Correct.
So you're talking about through the age of 18, it's dial-up. And you ain't watching anything on dial-up that's worth, your time. And dial-up I only got in 94, 95.
Right.
So I'm getting to freshman and sophomore year in high school, and there's not even an internet that exists.
Oh.
Boy, let me learn you something. When I first got on the internet, it meant my family couldn't get phone calls.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The line was busy.
That's right.
I had to get off in case someone was calling us.
Yes, that's right.
Not now. Let me take care of something.
Mom,
then you can talk. Then you can talk to Aunt Joni.
Tell Grandma to call back later.
Best would be when you were dialing up and your mother or father was trying to make a phone call at the same time.
Right.
Why are you using the internet again?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, the fancy folks got a second line that was just for the AOL dial-up.
That's right. And then when you wanted to load even a website like ESPN.com or something, or CBS Sports, what was it called? CBS Sports something.com.
Oh, that's right. It did have an extra word in it.
You click on it, and then you just wait, and you leave the room until it loads, until you come back.
Right.
And use the bathroom.
Slowly came down in stages to fill the page.
The good old days.
Use the bathroom. Go get yourself a drink of Kool-Aid. Come back. Maybe you got the first story loaded. Maybe you got to go do
Sports
something
line.
Else. CBS Sports Line.
That's
right. Yeah. CBSSportsLine.com. Yeah. Finally, a bonus clip. We lost an American icon as Bob Barker passes away at the age of 99.
Four. He says four, open that door. It's a one. Rod, did you not do the car plug?
Did I do that? I got some. Maybe I did. You want me to do it again?
Did you not do the car plug?
I didn't read about it.
Wait a minute, folks.
I got so
confused. Wait a minute. You can see what I've gone through for 25 years with the kind of people I'm working with. He doesn't read the plug. She can't drive the car. I tell you, is it any wonder to you why I have white hair? Tell him about the car.
I got so confused, she ran into the wall.
That's awesome. And that is your sound check. Bob Barker would have turned 100 years old in December. And a couple of things. Unknowingly, he raised a lot of us because he was our dads. Because we all watched him on sick days and snow days when our parents weren't home, mm-hmm. when they were working or whatever. So you ended up spending a lot of time with Bob Barker as a kid. Usually you end up watching like SportsCenter for the third time and then you're sick of it. So you click over to Price is Right and you watch Bob Barker. That show is usually an hour and a half long, right? So you could usually get...
Hour. It was 11 to 12 when I was growing up here in New York.
So you could usually get a good 45 minutes every day that you're home during school with Bob. And he's a gentle, humane, cared about kids, cared about dogs and cats being spayed and neutered, was a gentleman. He was a classic. Like, you know, we all had an experience with Bob Barker. So we lost a great one, but also he was always tan, okay? Always. So I really don't want to hear about how often I got to put on sunblock. All I hear is put on sunblock, save your skin. This guy was getting fake tan until he was 99 years old. He lasts until nearly 100. I mean, how bad could it have been for Bob Barker to get
that's your takeaway?
Fake tans. The guy was tan until he was 99 years old.
Was he tanning booth tan or spray tan tan?
Well, I guess that's true. It could have been spray tan. But how bad could the sun really be?
It hurts.
By the way, terrible take.
I'll let you know in 5 years when I get my first skin cancer thing removed.
Also, great turn in Happy Gilmore. The Price is Wrong. Punches out Happy Gilmore. I mean, the guy did great things.
And I'm sure we've all seen some different version of this tweet since yesterday that said, I can't believe this guy lived to almost 100 but didn't go over. Like in the game, he got to 99, didn't go over.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're pretty amazing. 99 and 9 months old, didn't go over.
And when did you kill him?
So it does. The passing of Bob Barker does have a DA show twist here. Because once upon a time, I mistakenly thought he had already passed away.
Becomes a successful game show host. Then they hire him for The Price is Right and becomes arguably the greatest game show host ever. They didn't just pluck him out of a two-bit acting studio. He was built up through the years to finally get to the throne of The Price is Right. And now we just think anybody can host Jeopardy? Former football player, an actress, maybe a this or a that. I mean, come on, former contestant. Bob Barker's got juice, or had, God rest his soul. Bob Barker, you know, that guy had the goods to be a great game show host.
It's a bad job by me. My bad. I had not heard from Bob in a long time. He had not texted me for a long time.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Did not see him cross my timeline. So I had assumed he was up there in age that he had passed away.
Excuse me, my bad.
I had found out during commercial break or from the D'Aliens on Twitter, D.A. Bob Barker's not dead. But the take remains. This is back when Aaron Rodgers could host Jeopardy. No!
I'm so mad about this.
No! No, not anybody can do it. Bob and Trebek and Sajak, and these are the legends. Wink, not the defensive coordinator of the Giants, the actual Wink Martindale. These guys work their entire lives for those jobs. You don't just give them to quarterbacks, football players.
Have they figured that out, by the way? Is it officially Ken Jennings and what's her name?
Well, now Mayim has left the Celebrity Jeopardy.
Okay.
She's doing this, I think, in honor of the SAG-AFTRA writer's strike.
Oh, okay.
So now Ken Jennings has taken that over, the Celebrity, and I think now it's mostly Jennings.
What do you mean, in honor of the writer's strike?
Come on.
You're not writing Jeopardy.
Game show. Enough.
I'm not as in tune with the reasoning, but...
Enough. Ridiculous, these guys, millions of dollars walking around. I'm getting a little tired of it.
Well, the writers don't make millions of dollars.
Yeah, but then the actors are stepping in now, like they're going to do something.
Solidarity.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'm going to hold the picket sign, then they're going to go back to their $400 million mansion. Get lost. Enough. The writers, let's go.
Do you support the writer's strike?
Look, get your money. get your money. But you know what? I don't need to see the actors out there. They're not doing anything to help the matter. How about you pay them? All right? And you take care of the problem. All right? Well, get this over with. And enough with this these solidarity claims. Enough.
What if
I want to watch a game show?
Your idea to solve the writer's strike with the producing companies is have the actors pay the writers?
Yes, they should. they should chip in.
They do not need you on that picket line.
What if there is a
SAG? Go off it then.
What if there's a SAG after a board op strike?
We don't have that.
He's not in SAG after. That's the storyline here.
Will DA
be declined membership?
Will DA be paying you, Pete?
I will march in solidarity. I'm with all the board ops.
That's right.
If Pete wasn't a union, he'd be perpetually on strike. But here he is telling the actors to get back to work.
I, make sure my,
I need
my deals
Blossom
taken,
on my Jeopardy screen.
Make sure my deal's taken care of. Enough.
I want to watch a game show, damn it.
And you can still watch Jeopardy. You can't just watch it with Blossom.
Oh, I got to watch one from 4 years ago. Great.
Enough.
I honestly can't tell when they're new and when they're not new.
Yeah.
Because Blossom needs to go out and have a coffee and walk a picket line for a couple hours and go back and then go back home. Ridiculous. Enough.
But wait, Pete, quickly, tell me your list of complaints about your work conditions.
I don't have a union. Sorry.
If you did, you'd be on strike outside the building
right now. If I did, I'd have things taken care of.
Also, who's Blossom? I thought her name was Mayim Bialik.
That was the character she played in a TV show called Blossom. It was before you were born.
That was her first role. That's what made her a star. She starred as Blossom in an early 90s sitcom on NBC.
And I like Jennifer Von Oy better.
Who played Six, her neighbor. Okay.
If she was picketing Pete, would you be for
her? Yes, because I'd be right there, too.
And a young Joey Lawrence.
That's right.
Whoa.
Yep, that was the big line.
The biggest catchphrase from that show is whoa. Nice.
That's when NBC had a lot of good shows.
Did they have writers on that show?
They probably did, but they didn't strike. You never heard about strikes in the 80s.
And they wrote whoa very well.
Yeah. That's right.
We'll see if
two O's and an A or an A.
We'll see if Awful Announcing can post out the headline. Pete Bilotti tells SAG-AFTRA actors, enough.
Enough.
Pay the writers yourself.
Damn the solidarity. I mean, we got enough problems going on around here. And this is the big problem we have in Hollywood land.
Hollywood land.
Enough. Give me my Jeopardy.
Whoever.
Give me my talkies.
You know what? It's all of them. It's all of them. It's the producers, it's the writers, it's all of those guys. Let's go get back to work. Enough people out of work, and these guys are protesting TV shows. I'm not wrong either.
How long have you been? Well, you're partly wrong, at least.
Oh, shut up. I didn't
specifically,
ask you.
You were wrong about the actor should pay the writers. That's definitely wrong. All right.
Dwayne Johnson can afford to pay a couple million to some of these writers. Get them out of having a, you know.
Hey, Dwayne, I wrote Scorpion 3. Do you think you can pay me for that?
Yeah.
I wrote Daddy. What was that one where he's like a daddy daycare or something? Daddy no, superhero?
He's a tooth fairy, wasn't he?
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I was the fourth writer on the last scene of the Tooth Fairy. Pay up.
Maybe this is a good time to cleanse some of these writers.
I actually cleanse.
Yeah, the now. Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy.
So now you're just firing them.
Well, I mean, write some good movies.
I love it.
Go ahead, Bogus.
Bogus has your headlines.
Deshaun Watson, then Tyrod Taylor, then Davis Mills. And now C.J. Stroud, April's number two pick, is officially QB1 in Houston. He's the Texans' fourth week one starter in as many years.
Definitely a blessing, something that I think I worked for and definitely earned. But at the same time, nothing else really changes. I'm still going to work like the way I'm working, even more now.
Stroud finished his preseason with his first touchdown pass, a short one to Nico Collins on the Texans' second drive last night in New Orleans. Stroud's night then ended. Houston eventually won 17-13 to close out the entire preseason.
By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt, but The Rock did make a donation, a seven-figure donation to the writers.
So you apologize.
No, I'm glad for The Rock. That more actors should do what he did. Back to you.
Back to you!
Arizona State football will not play a bowl game this season. The school punishing itself now while the NCAA continues to investigate multiple major recruiting violations under former head coach Herm Edwards. Sunday night baseball in San Francisco. The Giants facing a three-game sweep at the hands of the Braves.
The windup, 2-2 pitch. Swing, a line drive under the glove of Olsen at first. Down the right field line, all the way into the corner. Slater scores. Flores scores. Here comes Davis, and they all score!
John Miller still crushing it on Giants radio. Rookie catcher Patrick Bailey, a tie-breaking three-run double in the fifth. His Giants held on for an 8-5 win over the Braves. Just their sixth victory in their last 20 games. They remain a game and a half behind Arizona for the last wildcard spot in the NL. Those Diamondbacks topped the Reds 5-2, taking 3 of 4 in that series. Simone Biles won her record 8th U.S. Gymnastics all-around title last night. She won her first 10 years ago at 16. Now at 26, she is the oldest American to win this crown. I'm not sure if 12-year-old girls dig the long ball, but if they do, Louis Lappi is going to be pretty popular in El Segundo, California. His no-doubt solo shot bottom six, ending the Little League World Series yesterday afternoon in Williamsport. His team a 6-5 win over Curacao. D.A., back to you.
Rob of the 321 tweets in, D.A., Boyle's aunt was curious as to when you were doing the sleep number read. She's debating on the number she'll need for when she gets her hands on Victor Hovland. Hashtag reinforce the mattress.
Not bad.
And pay the writers.
Damn right.
But not the people who should pay them. Other right. People should pay them.
Someone pay them.
Someone pay them. When we come back here on the show, looks like we got the Yankees being disrespected. Properly so. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Please knock. Dan in Mechanicsburg is asleep in the Lazy Boy. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes. A happy Monday to you, everybody. You can always watch the show on YouTube and Twitch and watchda.com. The last place New York Yankees. They lose to the Rays yesterday in St. Pete, 7-4. A contentious matchup with a couple of moments where scuffles almost broke out. Guys coming out of the dugout. A lot of animosity between the two. Benches and bullpens emptied twice in the eighth inning. Five batters were hit in the game, but no punches were thrown. The Yankees lost their eighth straight series rubber game. They have fallen to last place in the American League East. They've got no chance now at the wild card. They are in danger of having their first losing season in 30 years. They're six games under 500. And the Rays are the top team in the American League wild card standings. Here is the Tampa Bay Rays, Brandon Lau.
It's a last place team against a team that's in contention. You know, there's trying to ignite something over there, whatever. Not worth our time at this moment. You know, we're focused on bigger things right now than worrying about a little on-field scuffle. You know, we need each game.
How delicious is this? That the Tampa Bay Rays are mocking the Yankees as that last place team we don't need to worry about. It's beneath us as the Rays to engage with that team. I mean, that's something else. That's not the Red Sox. That's not the Dodgers. That's not a powerhouse, big market, deep-pocketed franchise mocking the Yankees. That's the Tampa Bay Rays. Once upon a time, the Devil Rays. The Rays are the ones going, look, that's a last place joke of a team. We can't get bothered with them. They're whatever. We got bigger fish to fry. Wow, how embarrassing. How far the mighty have fallen.
And they embarrassed them right on the spot, too. They hit Randy Arozarena to begin the bottom of the eighth. He steals second base, steals third base, chirps the Yankees relief pitcher, and then scores on a single before they even get an out in the inning.
Rosarena. Hey!
Mocking them. The Yankees are being mocked. They're being humiliated, disrespected, as well they should. They are such a disaster. Everything about them is a disaster. And I don't know if there's a fix in the offseason. I mean, this is a franchise that has tried to just kind of keep buying its way into contention every year, but without going really big. They've got some bad contracts in the books that are hard to get rid of, namely the Giancarlo Stanton. They are overly reliant on both Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. Anybody outside of those two guys has been a mess most of this season. They got the same guy at the top in Brian Cashman making the decisions. Maybe they fire Boone, maybe they don't, but is that enough to make some type of massive change in the Bronx? Not really. It feels a lot like when the Yankees kind of cratered in the mid to late 80s, where they spent money, but they never spent it all that wisely. They never had a great farm system. They kept trading away prospects, and they were just kind of like, eh. And then the bottom dropped out in the late 80s, early 90s. It took them a while to build back. It kind of feels like we might be on the precipice of that again for the Yanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.